the drummer get wicked.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Pilot Project, and if you were a fan of the 2000-2001 Godzilla movie with Matthew Broderick, you're really going to be a fan of this episode, maybe. Today we are talking about Kong.
What the hell's wrong with you if you were a fan of that?
We're talking about Kong, the animated series, The Return, Part 1 and 2. That is the two episodes we watch for your benefit and ours, in theory. You can watch us on Peacock for free, or Pluto. Peacock, of course, the NBC streaming service now. You can get just about everywhere. On this show, we like to go searching for kaiju-sized crimes against TV. And this week, we are talking about the story of a boy and his giant ape who does karate. Yes, there's karate in a TV show about King Kong. It's Kong, right. The animated series. My name is Mark, and my right-hand man who has a giant foot fetish and talks like a stereotypical California bro is Dirty, Dirty Dustin.
Oddly enough, I'm the Texan on the show here, and I talk like a California bro.
The Texan. I'm also a Texan. You're not the Texan.
You have the sidekick, yeah. In addition to you, I'm the Texan.
True. And our guest, it's first time he's ever been on the show. We had to schedule him through many assistants. He's our fake Ricardo Montalban. He is a voiceover artist and the host of the Screamcast podcast, which is back on its feet again. It's Sean Duriger. Welcome to the show.
What's up? As the token Californian, I can hear the Texan, Dustin.
I figured that was going to come through loud and clear.
Oh, just wait till he says the word woman. He says it, woman. There's a slight woe to his woman.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you guys for asking me. I know that my schedule's been crazy, and I'm glad it finally worked out.
No, man, you are very, very busy. I appreciate you joining us. Are you offended by the character of Tan being the stereotypical Californian?
not at all, because especially in the 90s, I feel like that was happening a lot. There was always kind of the token, like, surfer bro, and, so it rang true to the time period this thing came out.
I don't know that's even just limited to the time period, because I've got family out in California, and I've met people that talk almost exactly like Tan. It's just like this. They grew up in California, and they grew up near the beach in Orange County. And
SNL embraced it.
Yes, it is.
Yep. It's always near the beach. And the funny thing is, not everyone talks like that out here. But it's like when you go to kind of the Laguna Beach, the places where there's people like there smoke a lot of pot and then they just ride the waves, bro. You'll get that. But, I lived in Iowa forever and then the Midwest. And then when I moved out here, I thought, I was like, why isn't everyone talking like, Bill and Ted? But
exactly. Not as many tubulars as you thought you'd hear when you moved out there.
That's right, brah.
Oh, don't get me started on that.
Just waiting to miss meet your Bodie. Bodie.
Right. I mean.
Okay, so this is Kong the Animated Series. There is also, I'll call it a companion animated series, a Godzilla animated series we're going to tackle next, since the Kong versus Godzilla is coming in on HBO Max here shortly. Yep. We're planning to have Javi. He's our Godzilla expert, so I know almost nothing about Godzilla other than...
Man, that guy has deep dove into all that shit. Well,
oh my God.
His expertise.
He's a huge fan. But this came out in 2001. I don't remember exactly when the Godzilla reboot happened with Broderick, but it was around the time of the Godzilla animated series, I think, came out right with the movie. So this was right on the heels of that, or birthed right before it, whatever.
I want to say the Broderick one was in the late 90s, maybe, but it's close, whatever it is.
Boy, I don't know. I don't recall. I haven't seen that in a long, long time.
It's not really that important, but...
No, it's not. It's not a landmark achievement in cinema, that's for sure.
Nope.
This aired in September 9th, 2000, and do I understand your notes right that the second episode didn't air till 2001?
According to IMDb, and it actually had no specific date. It just said 2001.
Ah.
So I don't know if it was early, late. I have no idea.
Well, it had a total run of 42 episodes, which for animated series is really, really short. Now,
yeah.
You know, when they put animated series to air, especially kids shows, they will tend to crank out a bunch at one time. So 42 is probably an initial order. but you know, Transformers had hundreds of episodes, and you know, He-Man had a ton, but they're usually confined to like 3, 4, maybe 4 years at the most.
Yeah. It's like, you know, growing up watching stuff like Inspector Gadget or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, there was only like 30 episodes of that. I thought there were 200.
Yeah, exactly.
It's weird. They just drive that stuff into the ground too. They don't have to make many and kids will just mm-hmm. eat it up.
Like they just chuck it a syndication and just kind of let it roll.
That's right. That's what you call passive income right there.
Absolutely.
This was created by Sean Catherine Derrick. Is that Sean and Catherine Derrick, or is it a man or woman?
It's just one name.
Sean Catherine. So it's a man with a woman's middle name, potentially.
Apparently.
Or a woman with a man's first name. I suppose I have met women named Shauna before. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Whatever.
Yeah.
Mark Boreal, who directed the Never Ending Story animated series, which I feel like now we have to tackle that.
What? Wait, hold up a second. Never Ending Story cartoon series?
Apparently so.
It was listed on his credits.
Sign me up for that episode, gentlemen.
Okay. Well, what about My Mummy Is in America? Is that an animated series or is that a movie or something? Do you know, Dustin?
No, and She Met Buffalo Bill. That's the entire...
Mummy is
in America and She Met Buffalo Bill. It's an animated film. It's just a...
Okay, movie. Well, that's one for Screamcast, I think. My Mummy...
It also sounds like a hardcore band, screamo band, album title, or song.
It does, yeah. It does.
Absolutely. It was also directed by Stephanie Rue. Like, how many directors do you need for a King Kong animated show? One episode.
They have too many, for sure.
Stephane Rue also, I guess, was part of a Goofy movie, the Disney movie. And part two was directed by Chuck Patton, who did Spawn and Swamp Thing, the animated series, which we do need to tackle at some point.
Yep.
And Joe Pearson from DuckTales, the movie, which was a great movie. It was written by Sean Catherine Derrick from Batman, the animated series. Like, how did you fall so far? Mortal Kombat Conquest, which we do need to tackle at some point. I believe. Oh, that's right. Mortal Kombat Conquest. Did we do that one? That was the live action one we did, right?
Yes, I believe that's correct.
Okay. We haven't done the animated. Actually. That's right. We haven't done the animated Mortal Kombat yet. And Romain Von Liempt from Iron Man Armored Adventures.
Just a quick fact check. The Matthew Broderick Godzilla movie was 1998.
Really? Wow. Yep. So the animated series, I don't think came out till, well, it doesn't matter, 2001, but whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. The official description of Kong, the animated series, which yes, does feature ape karate. When King Kong fell to his tragic death off the Empire State Building, there was a young scientist, Dr. Lorna Jenkins, who cloned him and took him back to Kong Island so he could finally be protected again from the world. 18 years later, her grandson Jason and friend Tan bring their teacher to the island to show him the paradise and, of course, Kong. But their teacher, Ramon de la Puerta, has other plans. He steals the island's primal stones, which control the balance of the island and make sure the imprisoned god Kairos does not escape. So now to restore balance to the island, Jason, Tan, a shaman girl named Lua, and of course Kong must journey around the world to retrieve the stones and stop de la Puerta once and for all. I would not have gotten the latter half of that description from any part of the first two episodes other than the fact that primal stones were mentioned. Once, right. I think. Maybe twice. It's not unlike... So we did the Karate Kid animated series recently. And this is unlike Mr. Miyagi and Daniel-san traveling the world on a raft to find the ancient idol for reasons that were never explained.
Well, this and then the Chuck Norris series and the one you just mentioned also, the Karate Kid one. It seems just to be a theme in all kid shows. They have to have a really annoying like sidekick person that's with the main person. Like Tan definitely takes that... And runs with it in this episode, but yeah, and it's just, they have that formula. It's got to have kind of the dumb sidekick or the one that's useless, like the female sidekick that was in Karate Kid. She didn't really do anything.
Yeah, snacks.
She didn't really do anything the whole time. Like, yeah, it's weird. It's a weird formula that I don't know that it's really that great that they keep going back to it, but maybe it is because a lot of kid shows use it. I don't know.
I don't know. Is that character the entry point for the viewer? I don't know. Tan did have one useful thing about him. It's the fact that he had money. And that's about it.
Right. Money.
Otherwise, he was pretty useless. Yeah. All right. As we like to do, we like to look at the Amazon and or IMDb reviews. Look at the good and the bad. 5 out of 5 stars comes from L. Hope for a reboot. Reviewed in November of 2020. Also, actually, says, I love this. It's like reliving my childhood and making me excited for more. breaking news there, L. No more Kong animated series. let's see. This next one is from September of 2011. An interesting curiosity, but doesn't work for me, from The Little Songbird 13, because 1 through 12 were taken. starting with the redeeming values, the music was rousing. The concept was great. The villain was promising, being well-voiced for one and showing some hints of menace. I love the chemistry of the three leads. Lua was my favorite. And the voice acting was, on the whole, solid. Sean, would you agree with that? Voice acting was solid?
Yeah, it was very, you know, I don't know, cheap animated show.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's nothing special. It's not horrible. I mean, my son was watching something that was absolutely awful the other day, and I was like, what are you watching? And he's like, it's a show where they see ghosts in New York. It was like Sesame Street with ghosts. I don't know. But that was really bad. So, I mean, it was serviceable. It wasn't bad. You got, you know, they're hitting all the stereotypes, you know. So, punchy lead, surfer bro friend.
Yeah, it's not like they're Emmy-worthy material here. Okay, and then lastly, from December 2016, a lot of people watching this fairly recently, not just us. This is from Braden Book 3, terribly scientifically inaccurate. I think the show is garbage. Who thought that a show about King Kong, or just Kong, who looks, he says, retarded, by the way, mentally challenged monkey, let's put it that way, fighting demons was a good idea. In addition to this, Kong and some random guy named Jason can do a gem fusion? What? The writing is also terrible, with such fantastic lines as Jurassic Sharassic, and the email is now on the internet.
Yeah, the tech is pretty amusing.
This On the other hand, this makes Godzilla 1998. Okay, you're right. Or as it's sometimes known as Gino or Gino, Godzilla in name only. I'm going to go with Gino. Why not?
Yes.
Looks amazing by comparison. As a result, I hence christen this show Harambe, the animated series. If you don't, stay the hell away is what he or she ends this with.
That's fair.
All right. So, fun facts for September of 2000. Let's look back a little bit in pop culture here before we move on to destroying the show. The number one song that week was Jumpin' Jumpin' by Destiny's Child, a song I had never heard in my life until we pulled it up for the show. The club is full of ballers and their pockets full grown. And now you fellas leave your girl with her friends, because it's 11:30 and the club is jumping, jumping.
It's not like we haven't all heard some Destiny's Child, but this is a very, this must have just been right in the middle of their super hot phase. I know it was in the aughts, but I didn't know if it was this early. They were already so big.
Yeah, this was like my junior year of college, so I barely listened to anything new, barely watched anything new. So this, and on top of that, like, this was
like four VCRs going?
Well, yes, I did, but this wasn't one of those. No, actually, I didn't, because I was living with my dad at the time, and I barely even had a TV to myself, let alone multiple VCRs. Okay. And besides, you know, at this point, like, I was more into Christian rock at the time.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, like, I was more in church at that. I was at church at that time. I was really churched at the point, and I was listening to bands like Skillet and, I don't know, like, other bands like that, which I know, Sean, don't you have an affiliation with Skillet somehow?
I worked with a band called Pillar, and we were on a tour with Skillet.
That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go. So I was really kind of out of popular culture for the most part. Outside of watching Buffy, the occasional Buffy and Angel, I was kind of like, I was not paying much attention to pop culture, but I still can't believe I had not heard it between 2000 and 2021, not once in my lifetime.
And I wasn't even into Christian rock, and I still didn't hear that.
You're more into Creed at that point.
Well, that may be true.
You weren't alone in that. And,
I'll admit
unfortunately,
it.
Unfortunately. All right. The number one movie for the week was The Watcher, which I'd never heard of. An exciting psychological thriller that takes a unique look into the minds of both the serial killer and the man who must reluctantly pursue him. It starred Keanu Reeves, fresh off The Matrix.
Yeah.
I remember it. Yeah. I don't remember it necessarily being good, but I remember it existing.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater, and I was very disappointed walking out.
Yep.
The number one TV show was Survivor, followed by ER and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
God, Regis was raking it in back then. I think Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was on like four times a week.
Confident. It's still going on. Isn't it like Meredith Vieira now or somebody like that? Yeah,
It might be. Or I think it might be what's her name from, oh my gosh, I can't even think of her name. She was big in that show that had Grant Gustin and the girl who plays Supergirl, the musical show from...
Calista Flockhart?
No. It doesn't really matter. Never mind.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. Who cares? And Survivor's still going. It's like on season 2000. Microsoft also released Windows ME, one of the greatest failed operating systems of all time.
She was the manager in 40-Year-Old Virgin that was making fun of him for being a virgin.
I can't Jane Lynch. Name.
Jane Lynch, yes. I was whatever the musical show was that was huge in the aughts.
Yeah, she's not... Know, she's on... You are the Biggest Loser, whatever that show
was. Oh, The Weakest Link. Okay, whatever.
Weakest Link, yeah. She's doing...
Man,
whatever.
We
Who
have
cares?
No facts. We have no facts at all on the show.
No one comes to the show for facts. the year 2000 was also the year that Rage Against the Machine's Tim Comerford is arrested for climbing on the set at the VMAs after his band loses the award for Best Rock Video to Limp Bizkit. The director of Rage Asleep Now in the Fire video, Michael Moore, suggests Comerford was probably just bored by the show. Can't believe he's arrested for that.
Yeah.
Climbing, not coming, right?
Sorry, climbing. Did I say coming? Well, maybe he did that too.
I had to mention the Freudian slip. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know, back in that day, he may not have been arrested. He may have just been part of the casting couch.
Let's spice up the VMAs a little bit. Get some eyes on it.
Yeah. Speaking of the casting couch, Britney Spears performed her hit single Oops, I Did It Again, becoming one of the VMA's most iconic and controversial performances due to her skin-colored outfit. Don't remember watching that, but I'm going to have to go watch it now. NSYNC performed their hit single Bye Bye Bye, also becoming another iconic performance for the VMAs, which the VMAs are pretty much dead at this point, right? Surely?
I think
so. Right? I think so, yeah.
Don't know the last time I've seen a new music video. And the 2000 Summer Olympics are opened in Sydney, Australia. And that's pretty much it for September 2001.
There's so much VMA discussion there. Not a lot went on that month.
Yeah, not much. Rather boring year.
Yeah.
So the year 2000, September 2001, Kong comes out. And I would say we're still in a pretty good run for theme songs overall that time of year. And then we get the entry for Kong, the animated series, which is not a good theme song.
It's painful.
It's so long, too.
Kong! Kong! I'm gonna fall asleep before this is over, man.
What is the runtime on that PC audio you just played? I'm curious.
It doesn't show it, unfortunately.
That's unfortunate because it was like 90 more years off my life. that reminds me a lot of the Karate Kid animated series theme song. All they did was shout Karate Kid over and over again.
Although that was better than this. At least it was.
It was, game. Of course. But it was Haim Sabin, however you say his last name, from Power Rangers. So at least had some cred to it. They got a little bit better. This is just hot garbage.
For sure.
Way too long for a song like that. I mean, could have done with maybe 30 seconds, but that was at least a minute, right? Surely.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It felt like 30, but it was at least a minute. Yeah.
But it's a minute of plot they didn't have to put in an episode. So
true, yeah.
So we can bounce wherever you guys want to go with this. We don't necessarily have to go plot point by plot point because there's so much just weird about this show. But I have to ask. So the whole plot is, as we mentioned, Grandma is set up. She cloned Kong and apparently took him to the wilds of Canada, I guess, somewhere snowy.
Right.
And she has her grandson with her. We have the fake Ricardo Montalban, who I did. If the kids don't know who Ricardo Montalban is, I did provide a commercial clip we could play of him. But this guy sounds so much like Ricardo Montalban, except he's dressed as a ninja. In the one we
go
first
watch
see.
Naked Gun, if you don't know who he is.
Yes, rich Corinthian leather. I'm not a impressionist. If I gave you that impression,
that,
no, I did not.
That voice is my favorite kind of voice to do. That kind of like I am a Spaniard, maybe. Conniving too.
Conniving spell.
To drive it is to experience the pleasure of a truly roadworthy automobile in the Chrysler tradition of luxury. Yes, even rich Corinthian leather. Chrysler Engineering achieves fuel economy for the times. Styling in timeless good taste. You owe yourself a ride in this new, smaller Chrysler, Cordoba. I like what they've done to my car.
Cordoba. He had a great voice. Great voice.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So the fake RC shows up, and he wants to find out where the primal stones are. He wants to find out where King – I guess he doesn't know that King Kong has been cloned yet, but he's aware of Kong. Because when Kong shows up to kick some ass in the snow, he immediately recognizes Kong as a giant ape. But he attacks her in her winter cabin with him and his ninja soldiers. And it ends up – when Kong busts in, he ends up sticking his hand in a giant bowl of acid that Grandma just has sitting out on the countertop. So that's my question is what kind of – Yeah, but who has a cereal bowl full of acid just sitting out when you have a grandson?
Science just sitting around. Yeah.
When you have like a 9-year-old grandson just out there playing in the snow, he might easily splash that into his own face. Or dealing with a stupid ape might just knock it into the kid's face and burn your kid alive.
Good point.
Terrible, good terrible point. Grandmother.
Have you mentioned that we find out that like so Kong is cloned, but also mm-hmm. using the DNA of the son of our main character Jason? So he's right. technically. Like they're brothers,
right?
Well, that's what he calls him. He keeps calling him brother.
They
so
are.
It's really strange
from the clone DNA.
Yes, I guess technically they are. So which has to ask where? How did she get the DNA? Did she forcibly extract it from the boy?
Oh, just a hair.
Just grabbed a hair. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
And where are Jason's parents? Where are the grandson's parents? They are no. There's nor hide nor hair of them in this show, nor a mention of them.
No,
and that explains the acid. She got rid of him. and needed a grandchild's DNA to bring Kong back.
Did a Breaking Bad on him.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I was surprised to find out that it was the grandma because, you know, I was like, well, it's the mom. And I was like, well, it's the grandma. And there's no mention whatsoever. Like, not even like a one line in passing. Like, just nothing.
Like, I'm taking care of you for your parents. They're like, I don't know. They could have had a throwaway line in there somewhere.
They could have cut 3 seconds off the theme song just to inject that line. theme song.
Cut out one grunting Kong. And
exactly.
More to the plot. Yeah.
So the fake RC shows up, and he wants to know where the primal stones are. And for some reason, somehow, Grandma, with her connection to Kong, knows where the primal stones are. She knows where Kong Island is. My question is, why is she always on the run? Because she runs from the cabin in Canada to Kong Island later and has been hiding out on Kong Island since they were attacked in the wilds of Canada, right?
Yeah, so
so what in that intervening time, what happened to Jason? How was Jason raised? Did he go back to these unspoken up parents? Did who raised Jason? Did he raise himself?
I don't know. That's another because is he in high school or no? He's in college, right?
When I think he's in college.
He's in college. Yeah. So So that's the question. Is like we have no idea how this child, whose brother is a giant ape, has been. How he went through school? Where's he been? Who knows?
Because spoiler alert, I guess since we're going through the whole plot, we don't have to say that. But fake Ricardo Montalban is this he poses as this professor of Jason to get close to him, and mm-hmm. then Jason's like, "Fuck it, this professor's cool. We're just gonna take him out to the secret island where Kong is. I think he's pretty good. He'll like it. He'll really enjoy it. He's a science guy, you know."
Well, this is where the crazy like late 90s, early 2000s internet logic comes in. Because of the email that he like,
yes,
oh,
fake
yeah,
RC,
yeah.
You know, he intercepts an email and sends it, so granting permission, right, that he can come along. You know, just like I
as
love
one does.
The use of cyber, in, like early 2000s.
Oh, the technology in this whole episode, it's like there's a combination of this time of like the fear of the internet. Plus, nobody's really sure what the internet does in the year 2000. I don't remember if I think I did a compilation of all the technology mentions in this show, right, Dustin?
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, let's play that.
Oh, yes.
Just tell them your grandmother doesn't want foot fungus. Too late. I'm sending the email now. It's in cyberspace on the way to my grandmother's secret website.
secret website.
Message intercept. And dear Granny's reply is Y-E-S. Yes. Send.
Send.
Something my grandmother cooked up. A wearable PC with a satellite link to the net. She said it'll guide us to the island, among other things.
What other things does it do?
No idea. She said not to mess with it, to use it only to guide us in.
You know, I've thoroughly enjoyed going through your results. You've actually mapped a DNA code so that a human can merge with an animal simply by engaging your cyberlink.
It's never been tested. But yes, theoretically, my cyberlink will allow the wearer to merge with an animal like an ape.
I could be one with Kong.
The island is huge. We will never find them.
Not if the cyberlink does what I think it can.
Huh?
Log on to the website.
Password.
Jason, enter.
Not a very good password.
It's got to be something Grandma knows only I would know. Wait. Computer, enter Rock Mettler.
It's Jason's middle name.
Weird, huh?
Password accepted. Enter command.
Yes. Show me a map of the island. Enter. Mark coordinates of this signal and locations of other cyberlinks. Enter.
Search for cyberlinks. Initiated.
That confirms one thing. De La Porta managed to steal the other links, too. Connect coordinates of other cyberlinks to the lab. Enter. That's where De La Porta's going.
Your friend is right. You must not do this.
Linking's a digital molecular process. Size and mass should have no effect.
A digital molecular process, cyber, internet, dark web. So, yeah, Grandma, did Grandma invent the dark web?
Well, apparently so.
Yeah, yeah. Secret cyberlinks, secret websites. technology that can somehow merge two beings' DNA together, and it's never been tested.
Yeah, we're gonna test it on the grandson. Go ahead.
I mean, like normally you have, you know, these guys like test things. You have like, oh, here's the room of the failed test subjects. You know,
yeah,
exactly.
Mongoloids inside out. You know, nothing. It just works.
My favorite is that he was mystified by. A password? Password? Oh, God.
Yeah. Man, just think if they had thought of what they would do if they had learned about two-factor authentication.
Oh, God. His head would have exploded.
Yeah. Man, I have to wonder the whole background of the grandma. Yeah, she's a genius, but she invented the dark web. She invented this cyberlink device, which I thought it was just going to be like an augmented reality like Google Glass or something like that. But it does so much more. It's cyber. It can only display maps. And why would, when he's initially using the device, when they're crashing in, so by the way, we haven't said, they're traveling to Kong Island, and Kong Island is in the Bermuda Triangle. Keep in mind, you know, we lose thousands of ships and airplanes per year, but somehow they're able to navigate through the cyberlink device.
Right. Well, I don't know. Did he even have the cyberlink yet? I thought he got it when he
did. He got it sent somehow in the mail, and he only knew, he was like, oh, Grandma dude. Told me to only use it to find the way to Kong Island. So she sent it to him in the mail or somewhere. She probably ordered the package sent over the dark web along with some assassinations. And so he's got the cyberlink device.
More bowls of acid,
but even when he's commanding it at first, he doesn't have to say enter after every command.
I know.
Only when he's entering his password does he have to use the word enter after every damn command. And God, is that tedious. Just tedious. Like even hearing it back for the third time, because yes, I watched everything twice.
Imagine after you use your Siri or Alexa and you have to say enter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play Green Day's Insomniac, enter.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Play Limp Bizkit, enter. Yeah, there's that. There's the question of with De La Porta I had as far as his hands. So the acid bowl, he dips his hand in the acid bowl in Canada at the very first. As a result, he's got a robot hand. Did nobody think it curious that as a teacher, he's always wearing gloves? I would understand maybe you're wearing one glove, but two gloves in California?
Maybe he's keeping him soft for his woman.
Soft exactly. As maybe he's a hand model.
It's a Of Mice and Men reference. Sorry, everybody. It's not a cartoon.
Yeah, that's way over my head.
Yeah. You gotta dumb it down for us, man.
Yeah, my level is more Kong Animated Series. And I have to say also, De La Porta, this is his scheme is a really long play because it started in when Jason was somewhere between 5 and 9 years old. Jason is now at least 18 at college. That's at least a 9-year play focusing on one person to get to Kong Island, which meant he had to, if he didn't already have a doctorate, he had to go to school, get a doctorate, then go get a job at a university that Jason might attend.
Right.
And then count on the fact that he's also going to enter the department of which De La Porte has his doctorate and that he might actually get into that specific class. That's a long, complicated play to get access to a monkey.
And definitely not very assured. Yeah.
No, it's really not. Then we talked about Tan a little bit in the show. This is the best friend. Before we get into the whole karate plot, I feel like we have to outline the characters. So
yes,
we talked about De La Porta, Grandma, and Jason. Jason, I have to say, if you guys know what I'm talking about, the overly attached girlfriend meme. It's the girl with the, if you type into Google, it's the girl with the big eyes, and they always have something about an overly attached girlfriend obsessing over her boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, type it into Google, you know what I mean, you'll recognize it, but her eyes are always super wide and almost like they have no iris or something.
Yep. See what I mean, Sean? Anyways. You're into like American literature, we're into memes.
So yeah.
You gotta dumb it down to the meme level.
Got it.
Put it this way. He looks like he's always on crack or something cocaine because he's always wide-eyed, like super, super wide-eyed. He looks like he's just really high on drugs when he's talking. He never really has any other eye expression.
Right.
That's Jason. Then there's Tan, who I don't – the best I can figure it is somebody that was writing this show or directing the show has some sort of Tarantino-level foot fetish because feet over two episodes – I counted this and I can't remember where I put it, but there were – multiple
Rex
feet
Ryan
references.
From the Jets.
He's the Rex Ryan. Yes.
He's the Rex Ryan of the show. Yes.
Okay. 6-foot references in two episodes. Keep in mind, these episodes are only 20, 21 minutes. That's a lot of feet references for 40 minutes conservatively. Well, probably not that. 38 minutes. That's a lot of feet references. And they're mostly by one character, and that is the character of Tan, the California bra who shows up. Who
obviously on steroids.
Oh, like, no doubt.
The dude is roided to the max.
There's no doubt about that. He's roided to the max. He's got money at the ass. He's got apparently he now has more money than his father because his grandfather's trust kicked in.
Yep.
So now he's got more money than that because he's able to just buy a plane and somehow learn how to fly a plane in less than 24 hours to fly to Kong Island.
Can you really learn how to fly?
Well, I mean, he crashed the plane. He at least learned how to take off.
Did you want to hear an example of his dumb voice?
Yes, let's do it.
Please.
Why'd you tell him what we're doing anyway?
I don't know. It came up one day when we were talking, I guess. The guy's an archaeological genius, you know?
Yeah, well, there's something about him I don't like. He makes my big toe itch, man.
You sure that's not an allergic reaction to all the pineapple you heap on your pizza?
No, that's just my right toe. De La Porta makes both itch. Here, give me a scratch.
I was just reading his little description, and his last name's Tannenbaum, and he's the fourth, which I think you may have mentioned. Did you mention that he's also Jewish?
I did not, but that doesn't surprise me. Tannenbaum, namely Tannenbaum.
Well, okay. But apparently he is Jewish.
Very strange character. And I have to say the other thing that's weird about him is he wears – so it's weird, first of all, to have old grandma glasses. It's suitable for grandma. But why is Jason also wearing the exact same glasses? There are two characters in the show of which there are, what, five characters total, two of which are wearing grandma glasses.
Yeah, I don't think I noticed that, actually.
Oh, yeah, they are like exactly the same glasses.
He looks like Matthew Lillard from Hackers. I don't know if you remember, he had those little tiny glasses. Very, very similar to Matthew Lillard there. And kind of sounds the same at the same time.
Oh, God, yeah, you're right.
It's very
like Matthew Lillard ate the entire cast of Hackers and then did a whole bunch of, like, deadlifts.
Exactly. Exactly. It's really gross that he keeps his pizza in a trunk all day while he's at class, by the way. That's disgusting.
True, yeah. As loaded as he is, you think he'd just get it fresh delivered whenever he wants?
Yeah, you would think. Old Tannenbaum's not that smart.
Yeah.
He just has a lot of money.
Yeah.
Our last character, other than Kong himself, who never really obviously has any dialogue other than sound like Tim Allen,
right?
A cheap ripoff of Tim Allen, is Lua, who is the, of course, native warrior lady that comes to the rescue at one point for De La Porte and Tan.
She's not very fleshed out in these episodes.
Oh, you say fleshed out, but visually she is quite fleshed out.
Yes, in that way.
I don't know if you noticed the extreme close-up of her chest in one shot. Like, I think they were focusing on...
She's the animated eye candy, yeah.
Yes. Oh, it was like she was like the right half of the screen were her boobs while she's talking to Tan, she's in the foreground, or her chest is in the foreground. I think Tan or De La Porte are in the background, and she's talking to Tan, but it's just an extreme close up of her boobs. I mean, it's only like 1 or 2 seconds, but come on.
Yeah.
I wonder about her. Like, I mean, is there anyone else? I mean, where does she come from? Like, does
exactly.
She have family? Is she like the only human on the island? And if so,
hanging out with the giant cat. That's pretty much all we ever see her do.
Well, that's my question about all of Kong Island. So she keeps calling Kong the Great Protector. So she knew of Kong. There's a Kong temple. But where are the other Kong apes?
Who built that? Yeah.
Well, who built the temple? Why is she by herself? Why is Kong by himself? Presumably, if Kong exists, there had to be two other giant apes that mated. So you would think there would be more than one Kong on this island. There would be a whole pod of Kong-sized apes.
Yes.
Because there are other dinosaurs. There's one of those, I forgot the name of the dinosaur, the one that has eggs. So that means there are more than one of that dinosaur on the island.
Well, I mean, this is a direct sequel to the original Kong film, I'm assuming, or at least the Peter Jackson Kong, where he's a clone. So there's been a Kong on the island, and was it established that Kong, when he was taken to New York, was the last of his kind on that island? So I think they're kind of like, well, these kids have seen Peter Jackson's Kong.
Well, I think wasn't this before Peter Jackson's Kong?
Well, these kids have seen the black and white King Kong movie.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, there was actually the one in 77 with Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, true, yeah.
Out on Blu-ray soon. I cannot wait.
Yeah, Peter Jackson Kong was 2005.
Ah, okay. So this predates Peter Jackson's, okay.
But all the kids have seen the 1977 Kong.
The original Kong died. That's in the description of this show. So that he's the clone. So he wouldn't have parents. He's a clone creation of Jason and old Kong DNA.
Wasn't the original Kong in there. Was it in 33? Was that the one that came out something like that?
Yeah.
So 33, 35, somewhere in there. So it's I presume it wouldn't be the 77 Kong, but maybe. I don't know. It's very confusing. But they're attempting to link it, yes, to the past. I don't recall if Kong was the last ape on that island, but
I don't remember there ever being other Kongs in previous versions of this story, so that's kind of consistent, I guess.
I know that Kong Island, the newest Kong movie, they do show, you know, bones of other, you know, Kong. So presumably Kong is just an orphan, the last of his kind. Very sad, very tragic.
It is very sad. It's,
But thanks to DNA cloning and DNA of a little five-year-old, we're ready to go.
This show is also no surprise, in many ways, a direct ripoff. This is like a weird mashup between Jurassic Park and Primal Rage, the video game. We do have there's a direct nod to Jurassic Park in the second episode. There's a musical moment that's a direct nod to that.
Sora, go!
Such a cheap ripoff.
That's basically it exactly.
Yeah.
It's like the Vanilla Ice, you know, Vanilla Ice, Ice Ice Baby, when it's like, it's dung, 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 or whatever.
It's exactly.
Not the same thing.
The other song is dun, 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 dun. Yeah. Okay. So Lua, the only thing I thought was interesting about her, and literally the only thing, is that her name is literally the same name as a Hawaiian martial art that's all about bone breaking. That's literally the only thing interesting thing about her character. Other than where are the rest of her people? If there's a temple being built, is she also an orphan?
Yeah.
I'm assuming she's the last of her kind as well.
Maybe so. Everything is the last of its kind.
Kong Island's
exactly
Island,
the right age, or, and exactly the right age for, you know, Jason and Tan to meet her and kind of ogle her. Like, Tan's all about her.
Oh, yeah. And I'm just assuming that she ends up going for Jason in the end.
Probably.
Yeah.
Poor Tan.
Yeah, people going for Tan.
So I'll give the show this. It moves very quickly. There's not a lot of, even for a kid's show, it seems to move really quickly. Cause I was surprised at how quickly the first episode was over. And then episode two, there's really almost nothing to episode two. It's mostly just fighting and cyberlinking.
Cyberlinking. We got to talk about the cyberlink.
Oh yeah.
That is absolutely bonkers.
Yeah. The whole process is this cyberlink device, which looks like a Bluetooth headset, an early Bluetooth headset.
Or like Google Glass or something. Or, it has like a little eye component.
That's true. It does have a monocle. It allows Jason to merge with Kong physically. So it's like
brain rape Kong, basically.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, this is an intrusion.
Yeah.
Clearly. And it's not even just mind control. It's not like Jason is wearing a headset remotely controlling Kong. No, it is like
he's inside. Jason
does a complete firestorm and merges with Kong. They are monkey firestorm because he takes over. like you said, Sean, he mind rapes Kong and takes his brain over. And Kong fights back, understandably so. He's not a fan of brain rape.
Yeah, he's saying no. No means no, Jason. Yeah,
no means no. Jason,
but he's basically just like, take it, brother, take it. And he's like, okay, fine.
Fine.
You'll be okay. Just let me in. Exactly. No, it's very problematic. And if it was released today, there definitely would be blog entry upon blog entry upon social media.
There'd be an Atlantic article about it.
The problems
of the
Jason Kong brain rape.
Yes. Kong would get canceled for sure.
Yes.
Well, Jason would get canceled.
It is really problematic. Even Lua points out at one point, like, Jason, you should not be brain raping Kong. Like, this is terrible. This is a bad, bad idea. Why are you doing this?
Raising the kid show, but yes, basically.
Yes. I mean, good for her. A woman speaking up, you know, for rape, not for rape, but you know, against rape.
Can we edit the show? Can we edit the show?
Yeah, she's not pro rape, but anyways, she's speaking out against Jason, mind fucking with Kong. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
With no consent, yes.
And not only does Jason merge with Kong, but De La Porte, like the guy in Karate Kid, the animated series, turning into a jaguar.
Yes.
De La Porte merges with Lua's saber-toothed tiger and becomes a giant humanoid saber-toothed tiger that, of course, fights Kong.
So this is the question that I have. Like, there's an obvious genetic change when the doctor merges with the saber-toothed tiger. Zero genetic change when Jason merges with Kong, which I guess I'm assuming is just because Kong's already huge. But there's literally... There's no rule. They're not following the rules here. They're not.
That did not make much sense. Yeah, why did the cat get so much bigger and Kong is just the same? Yeah.
And I could kind of buy this if, I say buy this in this loosest terms, the fact that Jason and Kong share DNA that was stolen from, so Jason was also raped by his grandmother for DNA.
That's true. After she murdered his parents. Yeah.
Many shows about rape.
Here.
Yeah. She murdered his parents. She runs the dark web. She raped her kid for DNA.
His acid just laying around. Yeah.
I could understand it if we were following the rules that the show had set up of they share DNA so they could enable the cyberlink. Maybe, but De La Porte presumably does not share DNA with the saber-toothed tiger.
Right.
But yet he's able to mind rape the saber-toothed tiger and go into its body.
Unless grandma raped him when he was there earlier and had his hand in the acid.
Right, unless his DNA is still like on the floor. Well, exactly. I don't know. It has happened in the Arctic or whatever.
Sure. Sure.
So I guess, she might have taken a vial, used it on the cat who happened to be on the island. Grandma is fucking crazy. You don't know what she's doing.
Maybe she's the real villain of this plot. She's the real evil.
She definitely has an undercurrent of being a villain.
Grandma's jacking DNA.
Yeah.
Left and right.
So to speak.
But this is basically where the show turns into Primal Rage, the video game. Mm-hmm. And if you're all familiar with 90s video games, Primal Rage was an arcade game. And if you're not familiar with the arcade is, I can't help you. But it was like
Mortal Kombat.
But dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So dinosaurs... fight. It was a lot of fun, and you could like, if I remember right, you could like eat little cavemen to like power up, basically, heal yourself. Or maybe that was Rampage. I can't remember. At any rate,
Rampage for sure you can eat, but I want to say there was little human eating in Primal Rage as well.
I'm pretty sure.
I think so. Mm-hmm. But this is where the monkey karate comes in, because Jason just casually mentions that he's got a few black belts of his own, of course, because he was forced to raise himself on the mean streets of California.
He had to do something. So being 16 and on his own.
He had to join Cobra Kai. Yeah, brah.
Laguna, brah.
Want to join up and do some karate at Cobra Kai?
Hanging out with his best friend who's worth $20 million and really hard.
the hard streets, yeah. Ugh. So, yeah, he merges with Kong and is able to fight off Sabretooth De La Porte through his karate. He actually, I think if I remember right, he as Kong, as Mind Rate Kong, doesn't he like grab a tree and break it in half and use it as a bow staff?
I think so.
Yeah.
Very briefly, but yeah, he does some Kong karate. Oh, you know, we actually do have audio of Jason behaving like Harvey Weinstein. I forgot about this. I did note this.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, man. Kong's really taking abuse.
The cat has Ramon's mind guiding it. Kong can't possibly understand this kind of fighting.
I can. I have a few black belts of my own. I've got to merge with Kong.
No, Jason. It's too risky.
Kong, you have to trust me. I'm coming in. DNA merger sequence, engage.
Enter.
Kong, we've got to merge again.
You That's must a no. not link with the Protector again. You know what happened last time.
Grandmother's life is at stake. I'll chance it. Sorry, bro.
Sorry.
Merger sequence, engage.
Jason, Kong, stop! Jason means you no harm! Jason, you must leave the Protector now! You cannot bend his will to yours! His power is too great!
You don't know the Chaser. He can be pretty persuasive. And right now, he's only trying to help!
Then he must leave Kong. Only the Protector can help now. Please, you cannot control him much longer. It will harm you both.
Hey, if Jason's out of Kong, maybe I can take him for a spin. Okay.
Oh, my.
So Tan is also pro-mind rape.
So Tan, I forgot all about that. Tan is like Jason's frat bro, who Jason is trying to get with the super drunk girl, and he's like, bro, she shouldn't have been so wasted. Go for it.
Maybe let me take a spin, bro. Yeah. The panties are already down. Let me go for it.
So much disturbing.
It is so disturbing. Yeah. So disturbing.
Oh, God.
There's a lot of fighting. Basically, the entire second episode is just Primal Rage as an episode. Mm-hmm. I do wonder, like, why... So, they brought up the Primal Stones a couple of times, and it's supposed to be a driving plot of this entire series. Why was, like, one Primal Stone not the focus of how they merge with Kong or other animals? It seems like... I don't know what the Primal Stones are supposed to do, because we don't even get to see one.
That's what I was going to say.
Instead of a... It shouldn't one of them have been the power that drives the merging with an animal, and maybe De La Porte gets a piece of it and it allows him to merge with animals, and maybe Jason has the bigger half, or I don't know, something that was more explainable than
Mark.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Instead of cyber, dark web, secret website, why wouldn't it be a primal stone? I mean, that's supposedly so valuable.
Maybe we find out that the... You know, the grandma's heart, you know, somehow harnessed the power of the primal stones.
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
Why the dark cyber technology works.
That's the only explanation.
Episodes, Mark,
we haven't gone past season, or we haven't gone past episode two. There's so much more we can learn.
So much. Did you notice that King Kong is always changing size? It's much like the Statue of Liberty in Ghostbusters 2. It's always he always changed proportional sizes. Sometimes Jason's at his knee. Sometimes he's at ankle height. Sometimes Kong's even way smaller than that. Disturbing animation. In the end, Kong and De La Porte, who I think gets into a bear. He mind rapes a bear at some point. He goes to his death over a waterfall, and we presume he's dead, but of course he's not. And that is Kong the Animated Series, episode one, The Return, episode 1 and 2.
You had some audio labeled fake Ricardo Montalban too. I don't know what that was for. Or if you
that was probably to probably to compare it to real Ricardo Montalban. Might as well play it. I did it. Why not?
All right.
My experiments with DNA are of no use to you. Besides, they're far from complete.
What makes you think I'm interested in your experiments, Dr. Jenkins? I'm talking about power. Absolute power. Control over all the elements in the universe.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know the Primal Stones are on Kong Island, and you're the only one who knows this secret of its location. Being coy will cost you, Doctor. Give her a demonstration.
Mind Raper.
Cyberlink merge with her, yes.
And presumably, and this may be getting even darker, but if you can mind merge with an animal, an ape, couldn't fake Ricardo just have merged with Grandma and gotten all the secrets out of her head?
I don't see why not.
I think they specifically say it's for animals.
Though. Animals only, sure.
There's a specific like line where it's like it's animals only.
Because man is not an animal.
I guess not. You know, so the voice actor for fake Ricardo, David Kay, he was the voice of Megatron in Beast Wars, Beast Machine, Armada, Energon, and Cybertron.
Why he sounds familiar then. All right. I loved Beast Wars and the one that came after the Beast Machines.
Yeah. He's a Canadian-American voice actor. Right. Not from Spain.
Spanish or
exactly.
Colombian or... I'm not sure where Ricardo Montalban was from.
I have no idea. I had to pause for a second. I was like, and I don't know where Ricardo's from.
Somewhere of that accent. I thought he was actually, of all the actors in the show, he was definitely the best. I mean, he put in A-level work in the show, but he's the only one I will speak to for that. Everybody else, I'm just like, I mean, anybody can rip out a tan voice, bro.
Right. It's all very generic. It's like, you know, Jason's like, I'm like the punchy kid. I'm the good guy, you know?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And then Jason's grandma, I'm just going to be very stern and speak very strongly and make declarative statements. And then Lewis got to talk with an accent.
It's a little bit barely... like you're in the van down by the river there for a second.
The van down by the river. Come on, Kong. Come on, Jason. So that's Kong the Return. Any final thoughts about this show? We're going to move on to a few more fun facts.
No. I mean, if you're in a state where you know some mind altering substances are legal, such as the ganja or the Puff the Magic Dragon, this would be a fun time to consume some edibles and watch, I would assume. Or even if it's not legal in your state, you know who to get it from.
Yeah, sure.
Well, sure.
But gotcha. You can't, it's like what, 20 minutes an episode? So, 40 minutes, watch these two. I mean, it's
laugh
a fun time. Is it classic animated storytelling? No. I had a lot of fun with the what the fuck is going on, for sure.
Yes.
It's an interesting spin on how do you make a King Kong animated series interesting. Yeah. And that is the conceit. Like we've done, I think this is the first year we've really done animated stuff. And we've done it quite a bit here in the new year. And it is something that when they're trying to do adaptations, it is definitely something they struggle with, is how do they take these conceits and translate them into a weekly series? And boy, it is an uphill struggle for them. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no doubt. Every single time that's been the case.
Yeah. We'll see if Neverending Story, the animated series. It seems like that would...
very interested in that.
Yeah. I'm very interested. Yeah, it seems like that is a setting that would lend itself to more of a weekly thing.
That's what I was going to say. That world has a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. As depressing of a world as it is, that could be happening.
Such a depressing world. So, in light of King Kong versus Godzilla coming up... I mean, do you want to see another King Kong animated series?
Nah.
I think actually Netflix has a King Kong animated series coming out, whether you want it or not.
Yes. They have new one coming out, yeah.
Yeah. All right, a few fun facts to wrap this up. There were two video games based on the series that were released. One on the Nintendo Game Boy Advance. The first was called simply Kong, the animated series. It was released by Planet Interactive in 2002. The second was released by Majesco Entertainment in 2005,
Yeah.
Way after the show. I mean, 2002 alone was way after the show ended.
Yeah,
and was the one in 2005 was based on the direct video film King or Kong, King of Atlantis. So yes, Kong goes to Atlantis.
Wow.
Kong, King of Atlantis, which boy is hard to say. It is really confusing. So it starts out with an obscure animated incarnation of Kong that is forgotten, like we talked about. It's so far removed from the original King Kong story that you can pretend this is a completely different franchise, which it is.
Yep.
It was released straight as a straight DVD tie-in to the animated series. The plot is focused on an evil queen named Reptilla who tries to use Kong to control the people of Atlantis.
So someone else rescued- is mind-raping Kong in this, too.
There you go. Poor guy needs to go to therapy. And Jason shows up and rescues Kong. And this says it's not a good time. So how does Kong survive underwater, first of all? Does he have a giant air helmet, Kong-sized air helmet?
Is Atlantis not in a giant bubble, or is it all water?
Well, so I've been slowly watching the Batman, the Justice League, Zack Snyder neckbeard cut.
Oh, boy.
And if you remember, in the original incarnation of Atlantis in that universe.
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, if you go back and watch this, you'll find that unlike the Aquaman movie that came out standalone, and prior to that movie, they always had to spin up air bubbles for anybody underwater to be able to talk to each other, even the native Atlanteans. But in the Aquaman movie, they suddenly can talk to each other underwater. So I don't know. They are fish people who just live underwater all the time and can somehow speak to each other.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, because in Justice League, it's like there's a scene. I don't know if you got there yet. But there's a scene where I don't know names, but the Aqua Girl.
Mira. Yeah.
Okay. She's like going like she's like that's how like, she's like talking that way, and then in order to talk they go, you know, and then, you know, then they can talk to each other. So I presume that's a one-on-one conversation is the air bubbles. Right. Yeah. And then when they're in the ocean it's like this weird sonar. Maybe they're close enough they can, but
is it bad? I think the Zack Snyder version actually makes more sense.
You're talking to a huge fan of the Zack Snyder cut. I really, really, really dug it.
Gotcha. Maybe I should give it a try.
I digress.
I just saw the original cut. That's all I've seen. So if the new one's good, maybe it's worth trying. I kind of, like Mark, I think you talked about, it would have been kind of good maybe if they'd done that as like a little mini series or something.
Yeah, I think it plays better. So the next year,
set up that way.
Yeah, it is. It is cut within the they shot it out as 1 4-hour long presentation, but within that it has part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with credits. Not like ending credits, but just an interstitial between
part
the two.
Part 2, part 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the way I've been watching it, is when the next part comes up is when I go take a break or something like that. Because they're about an hour, not an hour apart, probably 45 minutes apart, something like that.
Okay.
So that's when I'll take a break and, you know, watch something else. But yeah, I think they should have put it out as a miniseries. I think it would have behooved them more to do that. I don't know. I don't know what the.
I just think people like me looking at it, I'm like, man, that's 4 hours. I'm going to have to stop this, but
it's a big undertaking. Yeah.
Yeah. Just one movie.
There's definite. They almost treat each segment like a episode, and there's definite like ending to bring to the next thing. It's actually pretty, you know, it's the only way they could have done it, I think. And that kind of foresight with that was pretty great. So to everyone complaining about 4-hour movie, you know, number one, there's a pause button. You pause it.
Yeah, oh, sure.
But it's set up thematically and with a story to some of the specific kind of breaking points for you to get up and take a piss or grab some popcorn or whatever. Grab another beer or whatever.
Kind of what people did with that Scorsese movie that was 3.5 hours.
Irishman?
Yeah, Irishman. Yeah. It's like a guide to watching this as a miniseries.
Yes. That's exactly how I watched that too. Exactly right.
So anyway, Kong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so lastly, the Netflix series is coming out. Apparently, the island of the Kong Island has one king to rule them all, and it's actually called Skull Island again, like it is in the movies.
Huh.
It's from the Powerhouse Animation Studios, which is owned by Legendary. And they don't really have many details about it yet, other than it's probably not going to be aimed at kids, which I will consider a good thing, because Netflix has done some really good animated series that aren't really aimed at kids all the time.
Yeah, so. True, for sure.
I have a little tidbit here.
Yeah.
about Lua, the voice actress, Saffron Henderson. She was briefly in The Fly 2. She took over for Gina Davis's role in The Fly 2. And she was also in Friday the 13th, Part 4, Jason Takes Manhattan, as the rocker who's killed by her own guitar.
That's awesome. Part 8,
that is the
it?
Voice of Lua.
Lua. All right. That's awesome. Yeah. Fun facts. Okay.
I remember that. Fan of that franchise.
Yeah. Well, Sean, why don't you tell us where everybody can listen to you, besides audiobooks and whatever else?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can find me on Twitter, Sean Narrates, S-E-A-N. The good old Irish, spelling.
Is your middle name Catherine, by the way?
No. It does start with a C, though. So you can find me there. You can go to my little link tree and find all the stuff that I do. The screamcast.com is where you can find the podcast, The Screamcast. I also have a side podcast for the audiobooks called Audiobooks from Hell, which is kind of a horror centric, talking to authors and other narrators who have narrated horror. So an audiobook like horror literature is weird, where it's like there's this weird split between like the horror film community and the horror fiction, literary community. And they kind of sort of like will merge together here and there, but they are very separate. It's very, very odd. So I figured I would do kind of a podcast trying to like elevate and bring to the forefront some, audiobooks and books and authors and stuff about horror. I interviewed Grady Hendrix, who, he has a book called Paperbacks from Hell. He's done some awesome novels as well. And other like narrators and books that I've worked on, I'll highlight there as kind of a self-promotional thing. But yeah, and you can search my name in Audible and you can find my audiobooks there. Some are better than others. The early stuff, stay away from the early stuff. I should have done a pseudonym for those. But currently I'm working on a book called Behind Blue Eyes. It's a cyberpunk novel by Anna Mossacat, and it's really cool, I'm very, very proud of how it's coming together, and the book's great. So I would say if you like cyberpunk stuff,
yes,
find that book. It's really, really good, and she's really doing a bang up job of working on a series. So that's what I got going on.
Altered Carbon.
Yeah, it's it definitely. There is a lot of altered carbon. There's hints of like 1984, and that's actually referenced in the book. But the whole setup is great, very, very cyberpunk. But I like, she does her own kind of stamp on the genre, which is cool when an author can do that, because so many creators and authors can kind of just ride along a genre, sure, and do a passable, like that happens a lot with like the young adult post-apocalyptic stuff, but. Mm-hmm. She's really done her own stamp with this, and very, very enjoyable to work on so far. So that's what I got going on. And then speaking of kaiju, the last audiobook they released is a short novella called Blood and Mud, which is a Jewish kaiju story. So Satan apparently raises up a kaiju to kill off mankind.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting concept.
John Baltusberger is the author there.
Cool. Well, Sean, thanks for joining us. We'll definitely have you back for Never Ending Story, or if we can find it, I'm sure we can find something else for you. All right. Well, yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that's it for this very special episode of The Pilot Project. Catch you guys next time.
The Pilot Project is produced by Mark Hudson and Dustin Taylor. Email us at pilotprojectpod@gmail.com or find us on social channels as @pilotprojectpod. Links to subscribe to this show for free and links to the TV shows we watch can be found in this episode's show notes or on our website at pilotprojectpod.com.
Thank you for tuning into The Pilot Project.
I'm loving this show.
We hope you enjoyed the show. See you next episode.